Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week's online video picks are just up on our website. You'll see them right at the top of our video page. Each week we select five web videos, and I anchor them in a picks video on our site. One video this week is Senator Lindsey Graham grilling Attorney General Eric Holder on the decision to try KSM in civilian court. Another video imagines how historians may remember the Beatles in 1,000 years. See all five of our weekly video picks at wnyc.org/video. Now, is your cell phone fueling war and rape? A new UN report leaked to the Global Post news organization yesterday claims that Nevada-based company Neotan Incorporated has purchased minerals looted from eastern Congo. According to this report, the mineral trade is helping to finance a decade-long war that has claimed the lives of millions and has played a part in at least 200,000 women being raped in eastern Congo. Neotan is the first American company to be definitively identified as a buyer of conflict minerals from the Democratic Republic of Congo, but it is only one company of many worldwide participating in this trade. Tantalum, tungsten, tin, and gold make your iPod, cell phone, digital camera, and laptop function. But the black market trade in so-called conflict minerals, which makes up a significant portion of the mineral trade worldwide, funds the armed militias in the Congo perpetrating this horrific violence. There are two bills moving through Congress right now which aim to stop the trade in conflict minerals. David Sullivan, a research associate with the Enough Project, joins me now to explain the link between the mineral trade, your cell phone, and the horrific violence in the Congo, and what Congress and you can do to help. The Enough Project is part of the Center for American Progress, which works toward ending genocide and crimes against humanity around the world. David Sullivan, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
First, break down the supply chain, if you would. What are the steps that turn raw materials into cell phones, and what does that have to do with war?
Absolutely. Starting in eastern Congo, where, as you mentioned, you have the deadliest war in the world since World War II going on, you have armed groups on all sides of the conflict there, both rebel groups and units of the Congolese army, who are, in fact, quite predatory and as abusive to the local population as the rebels, who are able to finance themselves through both directly controlling mines for these minerals and also by illegally taxing the trade through checkpoints. And so the trade in these minerals moves from the mines to towns and market centers in eastern Congo, where you have traders who are really part of a mafia network that is linked to these armed groups, to corrupt politicians, and to neighboring countries and companies who export the minerals. The minerals move through neighboring countries, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, and Tanzania. And the UN report that you mentioned that's been leaked to the press documents this wide network of complicity between companies and these governments and countries who are profiting from this trade. The minerals then are mostly actually sent across the world to East Asia to refining companies that process this raw mineral ores into the metals, which are essential to the electronics industry as well as other industries. And then from these refiners and processors, through a series of steps, these minerals, the three T's, as we call tin, tantalum, and tungsten, as well as gold, ultimately wind up in consumer products, be it cell phones and laptops, or in the case of gold, jewelry.
And this complicated supply chain, I understand, makes it difficult to track where exactly the minerals and the final products actually come from. But is it impossible? Can we as individuals track where the minerals in our own cell phones do come from?
It's beginning to become possible. What we at the Enough Project first heard from the end user companies, the big brands, the Hewlett-Packards and the Apples, was that this was impossible. It cannot be done. It's just too complicated. There are too many players in the supply chain. But in fact, it's more possible than that. And the investigations, both by the UN experts and by NGO and research groups, indicate that it is possible to track this. Where the critical point in the supply chain where it becomes difficult to track is these refining and processing facilities where the mineral ore gets smelted or processed into metals. Because once that happens, minerals from all over the world, from the war zone in eastern Congo or from elsewhere in Africa or Asia, get mixed together. The key point is that companies here in the U.S., the big electronics companies, can trace their purchasing of these components and materials back to that point of the refiner. And if they can do that, those companies are actually in the position to know precisely where they're getting their minerals from and in a position to exclude minerals that may have financed armed groups and human rights abusers in eastern Congo from their sources and thereby deny these rebel groups the financing that allows them to keep going and allows this deadly war to continue, you know, well past a decade.
Now, this company, Neotan, that was directly accused by the UN yesterday, that's not one that is widely familiar. People know Motorola, HTC, Apple, Sony, things like that. What is Neotan and what sets them apart after this UN accusation?
Neotan is a producer of processed tantalum, which is the mineral that is the metal that comes from the mineral ore in Congo called coltan. And I think for nearly a decade, we've known that coltan from eastern Congo is used in cell phones and is funding the war there. Now, Neotan is actually a supplier to the electronics industry as well as aerospace and other industries that use that require this tantalum, which is essential to almost any piece of electronics because it is it holds a charge. It's tantalum capacitors are the product, and so we don't know who Neotan supplies, but it's widely known that they supply component manufacturers who in turn supply electronics companies, the big brands that we all know. Now, Neotan has been linked through the reporting by the UN experts to a series of front companies that are based over in Hong Kong who have been purchasing mineral ore from a variety of sources in eastern Congo directly linked both to rebel groups. You have the Rwandan Hutu rebel group, the FDLR, whose leadership was actually associated with the Rwandan genocide in 1994, and who continue to be one of the key, human rights abusers in eastern Congo, one of the most horrific groups, as well as sources linked to the Congolese army, a completely dysfunctional army that is in fact made up of former rebels who continue to prey on the population and illegally and illicitly exploit these mineral resources.
David Sullivan, my guest from the Enough Project of the Center for American Progress. They work toward ending genocide and crimes against humanity around the world, and we're looking at the relationship between so-called war minerals from the Congo, where war actively rages today, and the conditions or the makeup of our cell phones. Have you ever tried to trace, listeners, the makeup of your cell phone? Have you ever tried to find out where the materials in your cell phone actually come from? Were you able to find out anything? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We all know about war diamonds. This topic of war minerals has been breaking out. Have you ever tried to actually find out with respect to your own cell phone? Now, there are these two bills moving through Congress. The government of the United States is aware of this connection. I know that this summer, Secretary of State Clinton called on the world to do more to prevent mineral wealth from Congo ending up in the hands of those who fund violence. So what does Congress think the United States can do about it? And what do you think individuals can do about it?
Well, there's lots that both Congress and individuals and consumers here in the United States can do to help end this problem, Brian. First of all, in terms of Congress, you've had real leadership and I would say pioneering leadership from both sides of Congress, beginning with a bill that was introduced by Senators Brownback, Feingold, and Durbin in the Senate. And more recently, a bill that's been introduced by Jim McDermott from Washington State in the House of Representatives. And both of these bills, they share many of the same characteristics in terms of calling for a comprehensive U.S. government strategy to try to break this link between the minerals trade and the financing of conflict and human rights abuses in Congo. And in particular, they take advantage of the fact that here in the United States, while there's limited amounts that we can do to directly influence those rebel groups and armed units and the traders and middlemen who are directly buying from them, but we can influence these companies here that are under U.S. jurisdiction and who are ultimately purchasing these minerals. And so they do that in a couple of different and important ways. The Senate bill actually requires companies that are publicly listed with the SEC here in the United States to disclose the sources of their minerals, and it sort of shifts the burden of proof. Oftentimes in the past, when you ask companies whether they're using conflict minerals, they tell you, oh, no, we don't source from Eastern Congo, or we ask our suppliers to tell us that they're not sourcing from Eastern Congo, but they don't provide any verifiable proof of that. This bill would actually change the burden of proof and ask them to disclose where they are getting their minerals from.
Is the, is the electronics industry spending money to lobby against these bills?
So we know that the electronics industry had spent several million dollars lobbying on this Senate bill, which lobbying to, I think, lessen those restrictions. At the same time, and this brings us to the bill that, that Congressman McDermott has introduced in the House of Representatives, that bill the electronics industry has actually come out in support of. And the provisions in that bill are also quite interesting. What that bill calls for is a series of auditing of these refining and processing companies that are operating overseas, and then import declarations so that companies that are importing goods into the United States that may contain these minerals have to disclose whether they're coming from facilities that have been audited to show that they are either using conflict minerals or not using conflict minerals. Now, this process is something that representatives of the electronics industry feel may be a workable way, a very pragmatic way of actually determining which facilities overseas are actually using these minerals and then getting some transparency about that in terms of what's being imported into the United States.
So in our last minute, what can an individual do if people are now more concerned about where the materials in their cell phones come from?
Well, there's two main things that, that individuals can do, and they can visit our website, enoughproject.org, to learn more about this. First, they can lobby their representatives and senators in order to move this legislation ahead. Legislation has been introduced, and it has bipartisan and bicameral support, but that only gets you so far. And so we really need citizen action in order to move that ahead. Additionally, I think what is critical is creating consumer demand for what we call conflict-free electronics products and jewelry and things like that. Unless consumers demand that the additional costs required to verify that products don't contain these minerals, without that kind of demand, you're not going to companies just won't act to the extent that they need to. And so we're encouraging people to contact these companies and let them know that if they make products that are verifiably conflict-free, that we'll buy them.
Do you want to name any names, either of verifiable conflict-free cell phones or verifiably conflict-laden ones?
At this point, we just don't know. Right now, there's no piece of electronics product, no cell phone or laptop, that you can prove is conflict-free. And that's why we need to ask those companies to actually make those products for us.
Got it. David Sullivan, Research Associate with the Enough Project of the Center for American Progress. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, a slight correction from one of our segments earlier in the week. And then the decade in video games. Stay with us.